video we're doing right now follows this one, the one before, were the penetrating questions. And it's following at a distance. And what does that mean? I am a follower, but I'm following at a distance. And what are the consequences if I'm following the Lord at a distance? That's what Peter did. Now, thank God he followed him. The other disciples did not. But what happens if I do Peter's thing and I'm not walking close to the Lord? When I follow at a distance, it sets me up for serious failures. And you can read Peter's failure, verses 69 to 75 in Matthew here, verse 26. Matthew 26 is a long, long, long chapter. But it's all about the last day, basically, in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, to stand alone, and God wants us to do that, because if we stand for him and the believings, I'm standing alone. But if I'm following at a distance, I might do what Peter said. You know, I don't know him. You're wrong. I don't know him. To verbally share Christ with others, God's word, a personal testimony, praying in public, reading the Bible, etc. It's amazing in seeing people on buses or airplanes or in the airport reading scriptures. It's a message to people that somehow this book is important to you. There are other religions where people are not afraid to put a prayer rug down and to pray in public, not for a show, but this is what they feel they need to do. You will see them often in airports, you know, crying out to God. And then, see, the worst thing in following at a distance is, in fact, the last step, you know, I don't stand alone, I don't verbally share Christ, and the worst thing is, I deny that I know Christ. And not only did Peter deny, it said he began to curse. Remember, curses are utterances that are designed to bring harm by supernatural operation. How many Hebrew words are there for curses? I think it's something like 11, or at least 11. And there are 9 Greek words for curses in the New Testament and 11 in the Old Testament. I have all the references, and I studied them all in the past as I was going to different parts of the world. See, curses often involve special formulas and rites. In Matthew 5:33, teaches disciples not to use frivolous oaths or insincere oaths to get out of something. You know, I swear, and I won't, and I didn't, and it wasn't, whatever. Jesus taught that your yeses mean yes, and your noes mean no. And Peter began to curse and swear an oath, I don't know him. Then, at the end of that, Peter remembered that Jesus said that he would deny him. And Peter went out, and the scripture says he wept bitterly. Has the Holy Spirit brought back to your memories when you followed at a distance and denied Christ, either by actions or speech? Pray and seek God's forgiveness for that, and purpose to draw closer to God. Spend time in his word and prayer. Pray and ask God to empower you to be a witness for God by words and actions and deeds. In the book of Acts, we see the Holy Spirit empowering the believer for a life of ministry. I want to share a failure I had. When I was in high school, I had an opportunity as ushering at the Philharmonic Auditorium in Los Angeles, and then also at the Greek Theater in Los Angeles that put on only Broadway productions on a revolving stage. It was an open-air theater, and I got paid to usher people there. Well, I went to a high school close to Hollywood, and a number of our students were in many different professions of acting, dancing, all that kind of stuff. Many went into the movies and on the stage. Well, at the Greek Theater, there was a girl in my class at high school. She was a senior, I was a senior, and she was in the chorus dancing there. Well, at night, because I didn't have a car, she didn't have a car, and when her transportation couldn't come and pick her up, they asked me if I would walk her home. And we'd walk through the park because it's dark, you know, after the performance and they get rid of all the makeup and all that stuff, we would walk together and talk. We became really good friends. She was not my girlfriend, but we became good friends. And we would walk, and she was talking about her boyfriend, who she later married. And she went on to make lots of movies. Well, I was never, at that time, I was not going to movie pictures after that when she finally made the movie business. But my sister would say, oh, I saw so-and-so in the movies and so on. Or I saw her on television, where she took different parts in different productions that they had. Well, one day, many years after that, I was just praying and talking to God, and she came to mind. Now, it had been 40 years before, or more maybe, that I walked her home from the theater. And God spoke to me and told me to write her and to share my testimony. She knew who I was. She knew at that time I was lost, didn't know the Lord. And I don't know if she ever came to Christ. I just certainly didn't witness to her because I didn't know the Lord, because I was still in high school. I didn't find the Lord until, you know, I was out of school a couple of years. So as God laid her on my heart, I knew the way I could write her is I knew her maiden name. And she went by her married name in the theaters. And I knew I could write the studio and address a letter to her, and using her first name, her middle name that no one would know, and her married name, and she would get my testimony, how much I, you know, what happened to my life. I knew what happened to hers, that she was in a lot of movies, had a lot of parts and so on, but what happened in my life, and I found the Lord Jesus Christ and what God had done in my life, and that I had been praying for her that she would find the Lord as her Savior. Well, you know, I'm not a very good speller, even though I wrote a book, but I'll tell you, they had to do a lot of spell checks on my writing a book. I kept thinking, I need to do this. Well, I've got to spend some time and think it through. I don't want to be preaching at her. I just want to share what the Lord meant to me in my life and how my life was totally changed. And I went a whole different direction than I would have gone when she knew me. And one day, it would come to my mind, oh, yeah, I got it. You know, it's one of those things I got to do, but am I going to do it? Do I find time to really sit down and compose the letter like I would like to say? And one time I was looking in Time magazine, and they have there the death of people, because I was about a year older than her, even though we were in the same grade. And I read that she had had surgery and had died. And I never wrote the letter. And I felt so guilty before God because he was prompting me through the Holy Spirit to share my testimony with her. I was not ashamed to do that. It's just, it was so easy to put off. And so my word for you, I didn't deny Christ, but I denied, in a sense, the prompting of the Spirit of God. If God has been prompting you to share your testimony with someone, take it from me. Don't put it off. You don't know when life is going to be over for them. And I don't want you to feel like I did, that I could have shared. And I just pray, God, I hope someone else did, because you were telling me to, and I was putting it off. So ask the Lord, is there someone that I need in the past in my life, or even presently, that you've prompted me to share Christ with them, and I didn't do it? And my admonition to you is, do it. Do it. Because God may use that to bring that person into his kingdom and grant to them eternal life. Bless you as you allow the Spirit of God to speak to your heart.